This is how we do it. Just starting out in a series called This Is How We Do It. Again, if you didn't get that from that, this is what we're doing. And Philip kicked us off last week with a great talk on social action. And if you weren't here and you haven't caught up with it yet, would absolutely recommend you going and checking it out online. It's a really great one, and it gives us kind of an idea why we as a church want to be doing things like the Give It Up project, why that's so important to us. Now, in this series on This Is How We Do It, we're essentially looking at what core things for us as Metro Church do we stand for? What kind of church do we want to be? Now, as I said, with the This Is How I Do It, This Is How We Do It, we as a church, first and foremost, want to be a church that follow Jesus. And Jesus said to his followers, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And essentially, as a church, that's what we want to be doing. We want to be following in Jesus' footsteps. And that's really what we want to be shaping us. And I really love that at Metro, we're asking those questions about what we want to be shaping us. And today, we're looking at what Jesus said and what Jesus showed us about serving. Now, I don't know about you, but really, that word serving, it's not great. It's not that popular. And in fact, it's a bit of an alien word in today's culture. Such a culture that says self is really important and really valued. And we live in a consumer world that basically sells it to us that we can tailor anything and everything to fit in with us. That actually the world revolves around us. And we get a little bit obsessed with self. In fact, a recent survey of young adults suggested that on average, they take 23 selfies a week. 23. And Instagram to date has got over 250 million selfies on it. 250 million. Now, I might not be responsible for quite that many of them, but I did realise that I too am a little bit obsessed with self. In fact, when I hear that Facebook notification noise on my phone, that little just about did it, and it says, your friend has tagged you in a photo on Facebook. A little part of me inside goes, oh no, what kind of face am I pulling this time? What has been plastered all over the internet for everyone to judge me? And I'll quickly go there, and no matter how many people are in that picture, my eyes will hone straight in on myself. And that picture will be judged good or bad, based exactly on how I look. Now, if very unfortunately, my friend next to me, poor thing, she's really attractive, but just in this picture, she looks like she's got her eyes half shut. She looks like she's got about five chins. And she looks like she's dribbling. But if that picture is good of me, chances are it will become my new profile picture. Because hey, I look good. And it really is all about me. And that's how we do it as humans, right? Like, our first thought is always going to be about ourselves. We're, by very nature, egocentric. That is how we do it. And you know what? That's not wrong in itself. Because the reason why we want things to be about ourselves and look to self is because we want to feel good. We want to feel loved and fulfilled and connected and a sense of belonging and a sense of having peace with the world around us. And you know what? God wants us to fill those things from him. And the Bible has got a specific word that it uses to describe feelings like this. In fact, all of these feelings are part of what the Bible calls being blessed. And you know what? That's probably why you and I are here today, because we want to feel blessed. Now, I don't know how long you've been going to church. Maybe you've been going forever. Maybe you've just started coming. Maybe you went a while ago and now, you know, like you're coming back again after you were a bit put off, but you're coming back again. And really, why are we bothering coming? Like, why on a Sunday night with Monday morning looming are we stopping our fun with our friends and coming out in the cold and the dark and sitting in the upstairs of a science museum in Bristol? Like, what is the point? Surely this is ruining our weekend. Maybe for you, you're here because you really love the talk and you feel really encouraged by it. You get something out of it and you want to know more about God. Maybe you're here and you're someone who has got questions about faith, and Metro is great for you because you get to hear some answers, some people's perspectives on things. And so you feel blessed coming to church. It's good. Maybe you're here because you really love the worship and the songs and you feel really inspired by it. And you come in with all your stresses from your week and you leave feeling somehow more peaceful. You get something out of it. Maybe you're here just because you want to feel like you belong. You want to feel like you're part of something that's bigger than you. Or maybe, if you're honest, you come just because you want to meet people. Or because you want to meet that person, you know, that guy that you really like. And you know he'll be here, so you're going to be there. And obviously, no shame in that one, totally been there. And just like the reasons we take a selfie, in fact, just like the reasons why we do anything, often the reason why we come to church is because we want to get something. We want to feel blessed. And so we want an encouraging, gives us warm and fuzzy feelings, short talk, to feel blessed. And we want some really encouraging worship to feel blessed. And we want prayer and chat with our friends to feel blessed so we can go through our week feeling like we are blessed. We've got something from church. But then there are those times where we go to church and it's not like that. And we feel like, you know what, today has really not met my needs. And we feel like it was a bad service because we haven't got anything from it. And we might complain to our friends and go, you know what, that talk was so dull. That talk was way too long. That worship was really flat. And that light was right in my eye. Like, I did not get anything from that service. Because when we turn up to church, we expect to get good stuff. We want to feel blessed. And you know what? That in itself isn't entirely wrong. In fact, Jesus' followers, his disciples, also wanted all God's good stuff. They wanted to feel blessed. And so Jesus taught with them about how to be blessed as part of their community, but perhaps not in the way that you're expecting. In fact, there are quite a few stories we could look at where Jesus talks about being blessed. But the one we're going to go for today is one taken right when Jesus spends his last few moments with his disciples. So it's a really like powerful moment between them. But to get the bit that we're going to look at today, to get the story, we need to get a bit of the context around it. So we need to understand the kind of week that Jesus has just had. So here we go. Week in the life of Jesus. In the last 7 days before the point we're about to hit, Jesus has raised a guy from the dead. Casual. He has been guest of honour at several different meals. He's had people literally giving up their most prized possessions for him. At this point, he's got crowds flocking wherever he goes. He can't be alone. He's healing people. He's restoring people to how they're meant to be. Everyone wants a piece of Jesus. Everyone wants to be there with him. So much so that when he moves from city to city, people are literally lining the roads and they're giving him a hero welcome. They're shouting great things and saying words like Hosanna and Hallelujah, like ones that we sung earlier. Everyone wants to see Jesus. So Jesus has done the hero thing. He's had the hero welcome. And now he's about to sit down for a meal with his 12 followers. Now these guys consider him their leader. They are hanging on his every word. And we think, you know what, that is greatness, right? That is having made it. This guy, Jesus, has got the crowds, he's got the followers, he's got all the power. And we can't wait to see what he does with it. So let's dive right into the passage. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And here's the story. Jesus, the hero, knew that he was about to be betrayed. He knew that he was about to go to death on the cross, the worst possible death. He knew that this was his last meal, his last time with his followers, the last, like, nuggets of information that he could give to them, the last words of wisdom. And we lean in, knowing that last words, they're pretty important, right? What is he going to say? So, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So, now we hit this little word, so, and this tells us that because of all that knowledge, because he knew he was from God and going to God and had all the power, because of that, he did the next thing. So, Jesus got up and demanded that his disciples listen to his grief and support him in his last bit of time on earth, feeding him grapes whilst fanning him. And he wanted a foot rub and the best chair in the house. And he commanded them to start painting a portrait of him, of his good side, so that everyone could remember his greatness when he had gone. Is how we think it should go. But thankfully it didn't, so let's get rid of that. Thank you. But we're still left with that word so. So we still know that what's about to come is because of the knowledge that Jesus has got of who he is. It's because of his identity, because of his power that he does the next thing. And it tells us, so Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So because of his identity, because of the power that he had, he assumes the dress and posture of a slave, because that's what he was doing. How bizarre is that? For God's son, with all that power, to go, you know what? I'm going to act like a slave at the meal where I'm guest of honor, because that's what he's doing. And to get what's going on here, we need to understand a little bit about etiquette in the East at that time. Now, etiquette dictated that if you had people around for dinner, you needed to wash their feet first. Their feet were pretty dusty from the roads. Now, this isn't like mess like, you know, when you've been wearing flip-flops in Bristol in the summer. Like, this is messy feet. Their roads were gritty and dusty and rocky. So you probably have a bit of blood from the rocks, and they're probably a bit like fresh animal poo that they'd trodden in, and waste, and it was all heated and melted by the sun. Your feet were not good. They'd probably caked in dirt. And when you got to someone's house, etiquette said that you needed your feet to be washed. But not anyone could do this job. This job was considered the lowest of the low, the worst job possible. So even if you had a Jewish slave in your household, they weren't allowed to do it. This went to what society thought was the lowest of the low. So if you had a foreign slave, they'd be the one to wash your feet. And apparently, this is mid-meal as well. Like, this is ridiculous. Surely the disciples should have done something about it, right? Surely. But none of them are prepared to get up and to look lower than their peers. To get up and to look like the least. Because all of them have got that me-first mindset. All of them have got that, I want to look good, I want to be on top, I want to be the best. So then we have Jesus, guest of honor, God's son, the true Bible hero, getting up, bowing down, and doing the worst of the worst job. Now, to get quite how bad this is, imagine the queen rings your doorbell. You're looking out the window, you go, oh no, guys, it's the queen. This is the worst possible thing. Like, what's happening? You and your housemates have been far too busy to clean for the last few months. Guys in suits start entering your houses, your house. Corgis are yapping at her feet. But before you can curtsy and say, would you like some tea? She opens her handbag and pulls out her marigold gloves. And she says in her best queen voice, which I'm not going to attempt because according to my small group, all my accents sound like the Indian, so I'm not going to try it. She says in her best queen voice, don't worry about the tea. I've come. I'm going to deep clean your toilet. And you know that drain upstairs, the one with all your housemates' hair in it that's smelling a bit? I'm just going to unclog that for you. It would be ridiculous, right? And now we've got Jesus. Ridiculous. The one with all the power, God's own son, the hero, at his last meal. And he's doing the worst of the worst. And his disciples are horrified. The passage goes on and says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. He said, do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So Jesus has just had this hero week, and the disciples are gathered around him, and they're probably leaning in going, yeah, give us some nuggets of wisdom about how to become a celebrity, or tell us how to raise a guy from the dead. But a lesson in foot washing? Seriously? They really weren't down with that. And we're told elsewhere in the Bible that around the same meal, the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest. They all wanted to be the top. They all wanted to be the best. They all wanted to look good, to sit next to Jesus, to be the flashy, holy-looking one. But yet none of them were prepared to wash each other's feet. And Jesus knew that for his followers, looking like the top would be, you know, really big on their agenda. And so he lays it down for them and says, actually, no, guys, I want you to serve like I have served you. And it wasn't just about feet. Thankfully, I'm not a big feet fan. It wasn't just about feet. This was the whole notion of upturning the idea of what greatness looked like. Jesus said, you know what? In the face of this me-centeredness culture, actually, this is how we do it. This is how we lead and love and be. Us around this table, us who are my followers, we serve. And for me in my life, I'd love to be someone who's following what Jesus says, love to be someone who's following Jesus' example. And the theory of it is often great. In fact, I might hear stuff at church or I might read it in my Bible and go, this is great, I can totally see why Jesus said to do this. Like, that makes a lot of sense. That's brilliant, great. But then the reality happens. And I realise that actually, you know what? I'm in my 20s. I've got a full-time job. It's pretty full on. I love my social life. I've got people to see, places to be, things to do. It is all about me. And I can't seem to match up the two. And this for me was a really big thing about 3 years ago. About 3 years ago, I moved to London, and it was really big and overwhelming and busy, and I didn't really know many people. And I'd moved there, and I knew I was only going to be there for about 2 years. I'd moved there to do a postgrad degree to study for what I do as my job now. And I knew that this was likely to be the busiest 2 years of studying I'd ever had. It was likely to be pretty stressful, pretty awful. And to top that, I needed to get a job because I had to pay my London rent. So I was a pretty busy girl. And I remember having almost a thought in my head going, you know what, Chloe, this 2 years, season of your life, all about you, just do what you need to do to get where you need to go. Maybe hermit yourself a bit, like that's going to be fine. But then I joined a church, and it was an amazing church. It was really cool, and it was really growing. And I kind of thought, well, you know what, if I want to feel part of this, I'm going to have to get involved. And I read on their webpage quite early on that they had a cafe team, and I signed up once a month to pour some tea and bring a cake. Really quickly, that became an amazing idea. And I originally thought I'd go in it for a short amount of time and then make friends and leave. But actually, I ended up loving it. For me, it was the best way of getting to know people. People who I was on team with, I became friends with. And quickly, pouring tea became having really long conversations with people who were coming to church. Began to know people so well and go, hey, how was your week? How are you doing? And all of the stuff in between. And serving for me meant that I was known. I remember the guy who led the church coming up to me and going, hey, you're Chloe. I've heard so many great things about you. And I was there blushing and trying not to pour tea on his hands, going, but I only like bring cake and pour tea and not even that well. So for me, knowing people and being known, I ended up on a welcome team. And then I ended up leading a welcome team and then looking at how we could welcome better. And then I ended up leading newcomers hubs, small groups. And then looking at, actually, we want to keep this second service community going. We had a different service. And looking at how we could plug people in, how we could get people to belong as part of that. And at the end of 2 years, I left as I'd expected. But I left having really got stuck in. I left feeling like I'd made friends. I left feeling that I was valued, like I belonged, like I was fulfilled, like I'd really thrived in what I'd done. People were at that church because I'd welcomed them in. People had even stuck around at church because I'd got them plugged in with things. And hear this, this is absolutely nothing to do with me being great, because I'm not, it's nothing to do with that. It's just because once a month, I was willing to serve. I was willing to pour tea and bring a cake. And then I arrived at Metro this February, and I was new again, and I hate being new. but for me, really quickly, I knew that I wanted Metro to be home. And I knew from that London experience that anywhere that was home, I needed to get involved. So I joined a welcome team again, and quickly that led to me doing things like hosting on stage and doing things like this, so unexpected. So from 3 years ago, pouring tea and bringing a cake, something I could do, is just, I've thrived since. Things have happened in my life that I didn't even think possible. I've done things I didn't know I could do. I've discovered gifts and skills I didn't know I had, all from serving once a month. And Jesus knew for his disciples that their me-centeredness might really struggle with this idea of serving. But he knew that it was the best thing for them. In fact, he told them, "Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things," fill in the blank, we could say, "Now that you know these things, church will be blessed," maybe, that sounds like a good option. "Now that you know these things, other people will be blessed," also a good option. "Now you know these things, you know, people might treat you as a bit of a doormat and walk all over you, you might feel like you're really burnt out, but you know, you're doing what I want you to be doing." No. He said, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And that's the blessing we're looking for, right? This time, not through looking out for self, but this time through serving others. I think that's just so amazing that Jesus didn't turn around to the disciples and say, "Church will be blessed, other people will be blessed," because that's obviously true. But he turned it back to their favorite topic. He said, "You will be blessed." Serving actually blesses us. So when I got up here earlier and said, "You know what, we're going to talk about serving today," some of you might have groaned a little bit inside and gone, "Oh no, heard this before. She's going to get us to sign a rota so that the church will be blessed." But no, I want to stand here today encouraging you to serve, because I genuinely believe that it's one of the best things you could possibly do. And absolutely, there have been some Sundays over the last few years that it's been cold and it's dark and I've had to cut short my lovely day. And it seems to always rain on a Sunday as well, so I'm wet by the time I get to church. And my team maybe are a bit rubbish. Maybe I don't get the appreciation that I want. Things just don't go as planned. No one says, "Well done, Chloe." All of that. But despite the cost, I want to keep doing it, because it's something that Jesus sets out so clearly as a thing to do. And Jesus was the one that ultimately gave everything of who he was to lift others up. And just out of overflow of the love that I feel from him, the servant-heartedness that he has shown me, I want to do the same. I want to serve too. So that's the blessing we're looking for, right? That's what we want. And we want to honor Jesus in that. And that's so amazing what he's talked to us about, it not being for the church's sake or anything else's sake. But you're probably thinking, "Okay, Chloe, well, you've talked about being blessed through serving, but can you name some?" So in my experience, there are so many ways that we get blessed through serving. But here are four really practical ways that serving can bless us. Serving is the absolute best for helping us to feel connected, okay? So if you're here today and you feel like, "I'm a bit on the edges, and I've been coming a little while, but I'm just not making friends, and I don't feel like I've clicked with people," then serving is the absolute best for this. Team up and you really won't feel like that. Metro is full of some absolute legends, and one of the best ways to get to know people is just by serving alongside of them. Another way that serving is just incredible is serving is amazing for making things feel like home. I mentioned that for me that was really important, and actually when we serve someone, we feel like we belong. Like, you know when you're a guest at your friend's house, and the first few times they might bring you a drink of water or something, and that's nice, it's quite nice to be served, but the moment you feel really comfortable there is when you know where stuff is. When you can go and open a cupboard door and get yourself a drink. When you can say, "Hey, do you want something? I know where it is." And the same's true with church, right? The minute we feel comfy, the minute it feels like home, is when we actually invest into it, when we get involved with what's going on. And serving is the absolute best for keeping us humble. As I said, we live in a world that constantly sells us the idea that it is all about us. And for me, serving has been the number one antidote to this. It's been amazing to help me expand my little me-centered vision of the world and see that actually it's a whole lot better doing life for the people around me, looking out for them too. And serving ultimately is one of the best things for having fun. It's just incredible. Like, the things you do and the people you'll meet would just be so much greater than if you kind of hermited yourself and kept yourself to yourself and just looked after, you know, your own things. So you might be going, okay, Chloe, that's all well and good, but how? How do we do this stuff? Well, if you call Metro home, or you might call Metro home, then this is absolutely for us. This is how we do it. We serve. Okay, so you might be, you know, like the idea of serving, but like the disciples, you quite like doing the big things, let's say. You want to be the one that people applaud at the end and say, oh, well done, you did a really good job. You want to get noticed through serving. In fact, there are so many people who'd much rather do the bigger things for God than do the little things for God. Or maybe for you today, that you're like the opposite of that. In fact, all the stories I've been telling about myself make you a bit scared. You're going, you know what, Chloe, that's all well and good, but that is a giant leap away from where I am right now. Like, I couldn't possibly do that. So whether you think you quite like doing the big things, or whether you don't want to do anything at all, what's interesting is that Jesus said to his disciples, well, actually, what's more interesting is he said, what he didn't say to his disciples was he didn't say, okay, guys, you've got this. Now go out, go to the city, like heal, clothe, feed, do all this amazing stuff. No. What he asked them to do was just to look what was in front of them and serve those around him. And he says the same to us. He says, serve what's in front of you. Serve those who are around you. Now, it doesn't mean that we stop there. But that's our starting point, okay? So what does that actually mean in Metro to serve in our context, to serve where we are? Well, at Metro, we want serving to be for everyone, okay? So everyone say everyone. Everyone. Nice. If you're here and you're just getting comfy, that's absolutely fine. But the moment you call Metro home, we would love for you to be serving. Not because it necessarily benefits us, but we genuinely think that this is the best thing for you. At Metro, we want serving not to burn you out. So turn to your neighbor and say, don't burn out. At Metro, we just want you to sign up to one team and do it once a month. Perfectly sustainable, right? Like, no matter what your busy work or holidaying schedule is, we can all manage something once a month. At Metro, we want serving to be easy. So turn to your other neighbour. Now, I'm sorry, other neighbour, but you are second choice neighbour for whatever reason. And I'd like to say to your other neighbour, serving is easy. Very good. So, we want serving to be easy at Metro. We want you maybe to do something that you can either already do, that isn't like a giant leap away from where you are, or something that you quite fancy and we could train you in. For me, 3 years ago, I knew I could bring a cake and I could pour tea mostly successfully. So that's what I did. And at Metro, we've got some amazing teams. We've got some really, really good teams. We've got a welcome team. We've got a hosting team who do all the teas and coffees and welcome stuff at the back. We've got set up and tech teams. We've got a worship team. We've got a prayer team. We've got people who serve through being leaders at our midweek small groups. We've got people who serve by being trained to be midweek leader small groups. I can't say that. Just, you know what I mean. That's fine. So if you're here today, the challenge is, if you're here, you're not signed up to a team, sign up to one. Like, we genuinely believe it's an amazing thing that you can do. And ultimately, serving doesn't just benefit, you know, you and I. Serving is about ultimate culture change. What we do becomes part of who we are. And so for the disciples, they started serving with what was in front of them. They started serving by washing each other's feet. But that became part of their identity. It soaked into them. And that began to spread out to their homes, their streets, their cities. And then these guys became the founders of the early church. God did amazing things through them. God showed people his kingdom and his love through their serving in small situations and their serving in large situations because they got what it was to serve. And us at Metro, our vision as a church is to help people find and follow Jesus and to mobilize them to love one another and serve their city. So find, follow, love, serve. And the serving thing, yes, it's absolutely for the here and now. That's within church. But what we'd love is for that to become part of our identity, part of what we do. That when we leave here on a Sunday, it isn't just one activity we do, but it's part of a whole week. It's who we are. And then that spreads into our families, our workplaces, and ultimately our city. So today, if you're sat here and you're already part of a Metro team, thank you so much for doing that. That's brilliant. But have a think about what opportunities you're going to have in your week to be a servant, to serve other people. How countercultural, how revolutionary in a me-first consumer world to go, actually, what can I give here rather than what can I gain? Imagine how you would change, how things around you would change, and how our city would change if we got what it was to serve, starting at Metro and moving out. So today's big idea is following Jesus means serving others. And as we serve others, starting where we are and moving out, we end up getting blessed too. Now, in a minute, I'm going to say a prayer and the bands are going to come up. But it's often easy to hear talks like this and, you know, think, oh, it was all right, it was okay. But I think it's so important to respond to things. So we wanted to make it super easy for you today. We have, handy paper, you might have been sat on it, a little tick box here. If you're interested in finding out about serving in one of these areas, we would love for you to tick it, fill in your details. That would be brilliant. It's absolutely not signing your life away, don't worry, but it's just that you're interested in finding out more about serving at Metro. And what we'd like you to do with that is fill it in, have a tick whilst the band are playing their first set. And at the end of the evening, if you could go and give it to the hosting team, so as they serve you tea and coffee, go and give your little form in and say, hey, I'd like to serve too. And that'll be brilliant, and we'll contact you about that. If today you're new and you go, you know what, I think I might give this a go. I think I might call Metro home. Good for you. Great, brilliant. We're a fab bunch. And you go, you know what, I'm really interested in serving as well. On your newcomers form, which are also in your seat, if you could just fill in your details and tick serving, that would be wonderful. Great. So let's pray, and the band are going to come up. Father God, I thank you so much for sending Jesus to earth to give us an example of what being a human looks like with all the pressures and strains of the culture around us. I thank you so much for this really clear example of serving. I pray for those here this evening who aren't serving already that you'd inspire them and challenge them to get serving, that you'd help them find a space in Metro that they really feel like can be their own, that you'd feel like you can equip them, that you would do incredible things with their life just because they're willing to serve you, that they would know the joy that is in serving. I pray for those who are already serving in Metro. I pray that this week you give them incredible opportunities to serve outside of church, to have that kind of serving culture sink deep into their hearts. I pray for those who have served in the past but have just got really burnt out by it, have been really put off by people and things not going well. I pray you give them courage to step up again and to know your joy in them doing that. I just pray for us as a church that we would be known as a people group who serve outside of our walls. That we'd be known as a church who move out and who serve our city in radical ways, giving ourselves. Thank you so much for your love and for the way that you have poured out yourself for us. Amen.